Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. And we thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here tonight. Father God, we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for their life, and we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. We thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void, but Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us, and help us be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all, that we'll take the word that we hear that springs forth life on the inside of us and go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness, the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But most of all, we thank you for your anointing that's present tonight. And we stir that anointing up. We stir it up on the inside, and we thank you that that anointing will saturate us and change us in an instant, Father. Father God, we thank you for Dad, and we thank you right now you're touching his back. We thank you that he's well and healthy, and we thank you, Father, for everything you have done and everything you are doing, and both here and around the world, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Like I said, Dad's having some back issues again. That's the reason that Brother Tad came last week. He had an MRI last week, and he's going tomorrow, and they're going to talk more about it. You know, a lot of times, ministers, you know, they don't want you to know when they're going through challenges, but we're a little different. We want everybody to know so they can believe God with us. And that's how we believe that when you're going through challenges, that your brothers and sisters in Christ need to know what's going on, so we can stand together, you know. And I know a lot of people, whenever they're going through challenges, they're afraid to tell anybody, you know, because they're embarrassed or whatever. Nothing to be embarrassed, you know. We all have the same devil that's trying to attack all of us. Amen. Praise God. So tonight, my message. Some people always ask, well, how do you know what to preach on, or how do you figure it out, or whatever? Well, basically, on this one, I was praying about, you know, what to minister on, and God gave me the thing to minister on. But actually this morning, my dad kind of got on the same subject, but doesn't matter. We're going to read from Mark chapter 11 today, and we're going to focus in on Mark 11, 12 in the fig tree. So Mark chapter 11, we'll start with verse number 12. I'm reading from the New King James today. It says, now the next day, when when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. So, you know, the key here is, you know, like I said, Jesus and the disciples were coming from Bethany, and the big key was, it says he was hungry. Jesus was hungry. All right, you know, it was the next day, so it was morning time, it was breakfast time, and Jesus wanted something to eat. And you know, a lot of times when we read this story, we kind of imagine in our own road, in our own mind, that Jesus was walking down the road, and all of a sudden he saw this tree, and you know, when he went to it or whatever. But according to the Bible here, it says, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. So it seems that the fig tree was not right on his road. It was like a far off. It was a distance away, which makes kind of sense because, you know, if you are a farmer, if you have fruit and stuff and you're planting it right by the road, then people passing by the road would steal all your fruit. So it seems that Jesus had to walk a little bit of distance out of his way. I don't know, you know, which way, because it says from afar off. But anyway, whenever he got to that tree, he found a tree full of leaves and no figs. Because for a long time, I always wondered, I thought, well, Jesus is kind of rude, man. He saw this fig tree and it had leaves and he cursed it. Why did he do that? Well, the thing is, like I said, one of the great things that we have now is we have the internet, and we have something called Google, and you can actually Google it. And according to, you know, what I read on Google, a tree that has leaves should also have figs. So that tree was being very deceptive because it had leaves and no figs, and so something wasn't right about that tree. And so when Jesus got there, he saw leaves and no figs, and him being hungry, you know, has anyone ever been hungry? Like you know, you just really want food? And now especially you think about it, I mean, you know, he was already hungry, and he had to walk a distance to this tree, and he got there. And I'm sure all the way there he was pretty excited. I don't know. Maybe Jesus really liked figs. Maybe that was his favorite thing to eat in the morning time. I don't know. But when he got there, you know, here it was. I mean, he was going to eat some figs. And all of a sudden he got there and there was no figs. You know, and so Jesus faced something that we probably all faced. He actually faced a disappointment. And we've been there, you know, in our own lives. When everything seemed like it was going one way, then all of a sudden, you know, maybe you go to the doctor for a normal checkup. You know, everything, you feel fine, you look fine, everything. And the doctor says, well, can you come back? I need to talk to you or run a few more tests or whatever. And then all of a sudden, he gives you a report that you weren't planning on. You're like, well, I felt okay, but all of a sudden, you know, he said, well, you know, these numbers aren't good. These numbers, you know, there are times that we face disappointments in life. Sometimes there's things that you never thought would happen, and they happen. Whether they happen to you, whether they happen to your family, you know, it just, you know, you never thought would happen, or you didn't think it would happen at this time. I know I did a funeral this week for a family, and their father was older, and they knew that he was sickly, but he'd been doing really well. And all of a sudden, boom, he just died. Now, it wasn't a surprise that he died because he has been sick. But like this past week, he was doing really good, and everything seems to be really good, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, he died. And it was, you know, they were just asking questions. You know, why'd that happen? Seemed like he was getting better. You know, and all these things. And there's times that we're going to face disappointment. And that's when we need to speak up. You know, there's times that you're going to face financial issues. You know, it seems like, you know, maybe everything's going great. And all of a sudden, you know, your air conditioner goes out or your heater goes out in your house. Or your car, your transmission goes out. I mean, it's just, you know, it's like, man, I mean, you know, your own mind thinks, well, I can't get ahead for losing. Well, this is kind of the same thing that happened to Jesus that day. He got there, he was hungry, he was disappointed, and what did he say? He said, no man eat of this tree ever again. You know, he probably said it in a little bit different words, you know, and he probably said it like mad, you know, and his disciples heard it, and they didn't think anything of it because they thought he was joking. They thought, well, you know, great, you want to curse the tree, but, you know, what's your words going to do? And, you know, the thing is there's joking and there's actually speaking to a situation. And I think sometimes that we would like our situation to change, but we don't really speak to it. We kind of just joke about it. Well, sure be nice if I didn't have this situation. But at some point in time, you're going to decide, you know what, I'm going to speak to this situation. Now, whenever you speak to something, you know, you should, when Jesus spoke to that tree, he actually expected the tree to die. Yeah. Do you realize that?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't expect it not to die because, you know, he spoke to the tree.
Right.
Unfortunately, sometimes when we speak to our situations, we would like them to change, but we don't always expect them to change. We would hope that they would change. But, you know, we have to change how we think and how we perceive, because is this one of the situations where we're kind of joking about it, or are we serious? Do we really want it to change? At some point in time, you're going to decide, I want this situation to change. I'm tired of living the way I'm living, whether it's with, you know, sickness, whether it's with some lack, or what. I'm not saying you're living in poverty, but you know, you're not where you need to be. You know, Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what the Bible says. It promises abundant life. And there's times, you know, and you know, my life, I'm sure your life too, it doesn't seem like life is really more abundantly. It seems it's more like, you know, well, you're living life and you're barely getting by. Well, barely getting by is not abundant. Abundant is like the more than enough scripture. All right? And I think that's what God wants us to have, more than enough. But you know what? If we're just joking about our disappointments and we're joking about our situations, you know, I say, you know, we're not really joking, but we're not serious. Do we expect it or not? Do we expect our situations to change or not? Because, you know, understand, and well, I guess we'll get there in a second. Let's go down to verse 20. This was the next day, all right? So remember, Jesus cursed a fig tree. And then a day went by, and it says, now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. And Jesus looked at Peter, and he says, no, duh, I cursed the fig tree. Well, he didn't really say it like that. But really, that was, I mean, when Jesus began to speak, he was saying, don't you remember? I actually cursed it. I mean, Jesus expected the tree to die. Nobody else did. Now, something else I also like to point out is that when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, evidently nothing happened immediately, because everyone thinks, you know, when Jesus speaks, everything happens immediately. Well, it didn't happen immediately because, you know, they actually, maybe it was dark. They actually passed by that fig tree on the way out of town, and it wasn't until the next morning they saw the fig tree dried up. Now, I don't know what point between the 24 hours or so, you know, whenever Jesus spoke and it happened, but at some point the fig tree dried up. Now, but I do know, and I do believe anything, if you know anything about trees, trees have a root system. And that root system sometimes can go really, really deep. And, you know, whenever the roots start to die, sometimes the tree looks alive for a short time, but sooner or later, you know, they start drying from the roots, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 it's a graduated situation. Then sooner or later, it's completely dead. And here's what I believe. I believe that when we speak to a situation and we're serious about it, that the root of the situation begins to die at that moment. But it might take a little bit to work through the roots. But see, what happens a lot of time, while God's working through the roots, all of a sudden we lose our faith. Because, well, I don't see it. How come it hadn't happened yet? You know, when this situation happened in 24 hours, and, you know, obviously what happened in 24 hours, that'd be easy to believe. But when it takes a couple of months, it takes a couple of weeks, or even a couple of years, it gets harder for us. But we have to continue to say, hey, you know what? The situation's changing. My situation is changing. My situation's changing. My financial situation's changing. My health situation's changing, or whatever you're going through. But you have to actually believe it's changing even when you don't see it's changing. Because you have to know it's changing, because you have to know what's going on in your root system. So I'm asking you today, what is going on in your root system? Is it dying?
Glory. Glory.
See, but what happens is, a lot of times, you know, maybe we get to a point where our roots are dying, and it gets right to where the base of the tree is, and all of a sudden, like, we give up. We give up. It's kind of like, you know, the woman with the issue of blood. Think about this. Think if that woman would have stopped 3 feet short of Jesus and never touched his garment. She would have been 3 feet short. You know, we're not playing horseshoes and hand grenades, because, you know, almost counts in only two things, horseshoes and hand grenades. All right. You know, because hand grenades, you don't have to be right there. You can just be close, and it works. Horseshoes, you know, the ones that's closest actually gets the point, you know. But, you know, almost doesn't count whenever this woman's coming to Jesus, and she was almost there. And I thought to myself, you know what? I bet there are a lot of almost there stories that happened in Jesus' time. They almost got healed. They almost got to him. They almost touched his clothes. They almost spoke to him, but for some reason, they didn't persevere. And see, whenever the root system is drying up, we have to persevere. We have to continue to say it with our mouth. My situation's changing. I've already spoken to my fig tree. I've spoken to my disappointments. You know, and I know sometimes I've had situations where it seems I spoke to my fig tree, that fig tree dried up, and I walked 3 steps and hit another fig tree. You know, sometimes maybe you think I'm living in a fig tree forest. It seems everywhere I turn, you know, I turn this way, here's a disappointment. I turn that way, there's a disappointment. But you know what? I got to speak to that. I got to speak because it seems, you know, whenever, have you ever been there? Like, you know, whenever something happens, like, well, I know a couple of weeks ago, I had two cars in the shop at the same time. You know, it's bad enough you have one car, then you have two cars. You know, one of them was wrecked, which I took, and one of them actually blew an engine. Two cars, and at the same time, they weren't my car, but it was my family's car. And so, at the same time, you know, it just seems sometimes that whenever things are going bad, they continue to go bad, because that's what the devil is trying to do.
That's right.
He believes that if he throws enough fig trees in your face, at some point in time, you're going to quit speaking to him.
That's right.
At some point in time, you're going to let it go. And, you know, I've often thought about this. So, you know, Jesus did not have to curse that fig tree. I mean, he was probably going to never show up at that fig tree ever again. But the reason he did is because he didn't want anybody else to be deceived by that fig tree.
That's right.
He didn't want anybody else to come hungry and come there, and all of a sudden they can't get anything because there's no figs. That something was wrong with that tree, and it needed to be destroyed. But, you know, whenever the words are spoken, the root system starts to dry up. And so, like I said, when Peter said, well, look, Rabbi, the fig tree's died. And Jesus said, of course it did. Because I spoke to it. Because I spoke to it. And then he goes on here in verse 22. And everyone who knows me knows that this is my favorite verse. And this is what, if I sign your Bible, I'm gonna put Mark 11:22 next to it. Because it says, so Jesus answered and says to them, have faith in God. And I believe that this is a scripture we have to get a hold of. Whenever we speak to our disappointments, we have to put our trust and our faith wholeheartedly in God. Because see, you can't naturally change this. I mean, I can't naturally go to a fig tree and curse it and it dies, because, you know, that's impossible. But, you know, I know the person that can.
Come on.
And I know the person I can put my faith in, you know, and ultimately that's what Jesus, he was walking here on the earth as a man. He was putting his faith in God,
that
God was gonna do those situations. And, you know, obviously he said, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. And so he says, you know, my faith is in God. And when I speak to my disappointments, you know, I can't take care of them, but I know my God can. And my faith has to be wholeheartedly in God. It's not about what I can do. It's about what God can do through me. You know, like I said, my dad's favorite scripture, man's impossibility, God's possibility. With God, all things are possible.
Right.
You know, and some translation says this, have the faith of God or the faith like God. And like I've said it before, I'll say it again. I was praying one day because, you know, when you don't have an answer, sometimes you have to ask God. I mean, there are some answers that we can go to Google and find out, but there's some answers that Google doesn't know the answer to. All right? You know, so I always say between God and Google, I have all the answers. All right? I mean, you know, there are some natural answers that you can find, and for whatever reason, a long time ago, I started calling myself a Googleologist, you know, and I'm the idiot that will go to the 22nd page of Google, 22nd page, 23rd page, or whatever. In fact, when people really want an answer about something, I don't know how many people have asked me to research something when everybody else has the same thing. They have the same tools I have.
Yes.
You know, they're just not as diligent as I am. You know, but I'll diligently just kind of plow through, you know, some other stuff. And I have found answers on the 8th page of Google. You know, that I'm like, man, I found this website that, you know, see, a lot of times when these websites that people really want you to find, you know, they put little keywords to make sure they're on the first page. These research websites, they don't really care whether you find it or not. So sometimes it's like way down there, and you find some kind of research thing or whatever. I like the research stuff. I don't know what it is. I'll be, you know, watching TV and someone talking about something, watching the news, and I start researching everything. I guess it's the learner in me. I like to learn everything. But anyway, you know, God, I mean, Google doesn't know what the God kind of faith is. All right? Unless some pastor preached on it, then, you know, they can give me a sermon that some pastor preached or whatever. But, you know, when I asked the Lord, I said, give me a great illustration so I can show people what the God kind of faith is. And he brought me to the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. And we know the first of the Bible, it says the earth was null and void. And God said, let there be light. Everyone remember that?
Yes.
And the next verse says, and the light came on. Why did the light come on? Because God said it. Now, I like to use Mark 11. God said it with his mouth. He believed it in his heart, and he had what he said.
That's right.
You know, when God said, let there be light, do you think he thought, well, maybe light won't come on?
No.
God never thought that. And so what you know, Jesus was telling Peter is, when I spoke to the fig tree, I spoke just like God did when he spoke to the heavens and the earth. When the earth was null and void, he said, let there be light. I basically, you know, said, you know, I curse this fig tree. You know, and now we, because we're supposed to do everything in the name of Jesus, and we should say, I curse this fig tree in the name of Jesus. It's all in his name. But God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, I always kind of joke, you know, about this, you know, that notice God did not give an offering after he said, let there be light. Because some people said, well, if you speak it and you give an offering, it's going to happen. No, it's not about the offering. It's if you speak it and you put your faith in God, it's going to happen.
Right.
Nothing about the offering. Now, there is some things about being obedient, being you know, and giving an offering. But when it comes to this kind of faith, having the faith of God, it's saying it with your mouth, believing in your heart, and having what you say. There's nothing about offerings. There's nothing about fasting and praying for 40 days and 40 nights. All right, there's nothing about that. When God said, let there be light, the next instance there was light. Why was there light? Because God said it. And what Jesus was trying to tell the disciples is we can speak like God speaks. We can speak to our situation. We can speak to our circumstances just like God spoke to the heavens and the earth. But we have to speak. It's up to us to speak. Now, when we're speaking, he didn't say for us to do anything. He said put our faith in God and speak the word. It's not my responsibility to figure out how my problem's going to get solved.
Come on.
And I think that's, you know, and it's really tough. I mean, especially for someone, like I said, I like to research everything. I like to know how it's going, and I think it's ingrained in us, you know, whenever we go to school, you know, to learn how things work. And I always actually kind of blame the math teacher. The math teacher is the one who knew that, like, some of the answers are in the back of the book. And they would always tell us every year, I mean, you know, you have to show your work. You can't just come down and say X equals 6. You actually have to show how X equals 6, and you have to show all your work and everything. And if you just say X equals 6, and even though it's the right answer, your teacher will count it wrong. Because you had the right answer, but you didn't show you knew how it works. So what happens is when it comes to the things of God, we're trying to figure out, how does this work? And God, show me how it's going to work. Show me, work this problem out in front of me so I know how it's going to work. But we have a God that just says X equals 6. You know, or whatever. He says, it doesn't matter how it works. You don't have to worry about how it works. You put your faith in me. You put your trust in me. I'll figure out how it works. I'll work your problem out. The Bible says only believe. You know, realize, you know, only means that's all you need to do is believe. Only believe. Now who do we believe in? We only believe. I'm sorry about all this clicking stuff. And maybe it's because I'm walking around too much. But I'm excited. All right, I'm excited because you know what? I mean, it's exciting to know that I have an answer to any one of my disappointments before I even face a disappointment. Before I even get to the fig tree, I know what to do. And, you know, while it's drying up from the roots, I still know what to do. I keep my faith in God. You know, the Bible says, only believe, all things are possible to them that believes. Now, what are we supposed to believe in God? We're supposed to believe that God is doing the work. You know, because I know people, especially when it comes to financial situations, they're like, okay, I'm trusting God. Now, God, you know, I need to do this, I need to do that. I mean, they're telling God that, you know, that they need a raise in their job, or that they needed a better job. And I'm not saying that they don't need a better job. I'm not saying they don't need a raise. But your job is not your source. God is your source. I mean, I know my wife has a story, and this was before her and I got married, that she was going through some challenges financially, and she had a lady that she didn't even know from California that mailed her $5,000. And this lady didn't even know her name. You know, and she, my mother-in-law is also a minister, and this lady was praying, and the lady got in her heart says, "You're supposed to send, Sandy Brown, that's my wife, my mom, her oldest daughter, $5,000. She didn't even know what her oldest daughter, so God didn't even give her the name. She just gave it, sent it to my mother-in-law and said, "This is for your oldest daughter." You know, my wife still has never met this lady. Still doesn't know this lady. You know, but what is, my wife tells a story. She was crying out to God. At that time, she said she wasn't maybe as close to God as she should have been. And she had one of those fall on your face moments. And she began to cry out to God, says, "God, you have to help me through this situation. I don't know how I'm going to make it." She had four kids and she was, just barely making it, and just, things were tough. And all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, $5,000 showed up from some lady she didn't even know. So what I'm trying to tell you, she didn't get a raise in her job. She didn't get another job offer to work another job. But someone sent her $5,000, and she doesn't even know her. Now, how's that happen? I don't know. Is that going to happen for you? I don't know. Maybe it's someone in Beijing, China sends you $5,000. I don't know. But the point is that God does. I always say that, that God has more channels than your satellite television or your cable television or whatever. Because I do know this. For whatever reason, on a financial situation, that if we're going through a financial situation, a lot of times in our own mind, we kind of believe some folks that we know that are well off, that knows us well, that's blessed us in the past, that they're going to bless us again, to help us out. But you know what? God has plenty of other channels to use besides those people. So never focus your faith on some kind of channel how God's going to bless you, whether it's through your job or through this or through that, because you never know. You never know. It's just amazing. How God works. And just to tell you, this happened twice to me. Both times. I like you. We've all been there where things sometimes are tight. Sometimes, especially right before payday. And so I remember one day I walked into. I like to get Brahms milk. I'm not sure if you guys like Brahms milk, but I like Brahms milk. And so I walked in to get a gallon of milk. Actually, I think I was going to buy 2 gallons of milk. I think they had the special. Somebody had the special two gallons for $5 or whatever. And so this is actually about a year ago or so. I walked in to buy milk. And it was right before payday, and things were tight, but I had enough money to buy milk. I'm not saying I couldn't afford to buy $5 worth of milk, okay? But I will say, things have been tight, and I had just got through. I was driving my car, and I was just believing God because I knew, I had some bills coming due, and, and all kinds of stuff. And I was had been trusting God for financially, and I walk in to go buy milk, and I set my 2 gallons of milk down. And the guy came, and who I found out later is the manager of the Brahms there, close to my house. And he said, "It's on me tonight." He says, "I'm he said, "I just want to thank you and your family for everything that you do." He said, at that time I didn't know him, but I was able to meet him, and he says, he doesn't come to our church, but he's come to camp meeting. He just really loves our ministry. And so I walked out crying. It was $5 and however many cents. All right. It's not that I couldn't afford the $5. It was just like, how God just meets a small need. Even though if I had the $5, and you know, it was interesting because I see this guy all. I mean, you know, I don't go to Brahms all the time, but I go to Brahms quite a bit because I buy quite a bit of milk, and then also buy ice cream. And you know, it just kind of there was another time that I was you know kind of same thing. And it, you know, like I said, I had enough money. This time was I buy an ice cream, and I don't expect them to buy my ice cream or buy whatever. But I don't know. I was I know you look at me, you think I eat a lot of dessert. I don't eat very many desserts. It's actually, I just don't. I mean, I'm not a big dessert eater. I'm not a big sweet eater. I know, but there's one day it was back when it was like 100 degrees outside. It was really hot. And I said, I just want some ice cream. And actually I said, I haven't had a hot fudge sundae from Brahms in a long time. All right. And so, and actually I was going to walk in on, you know, I was just going to get a single dip and I got a double dip. I splurged a little bit, you know, and so, you know, just an ice cream sundae, and I go to pay. Actually, and he wasn't, there was another guy waiting on me, and all of a sudden, the manager comes over there and says, on me today. And it was like, it was one of the similar times, I was like 2 days before payday. You know, and like I said, it's not that I couldn't afford my ice cream. It's just that God provided.
Amen.
God provided. But I'm going to tell you, even just a couple weeks ago, and, you know, I actually was complaining, not just because, I, you know, what I like to do a lot of times if I'm going out to eat or whatever, you know, sometimes I call my boys and find out. But if I call one of them and, you know, I want to make sure I call them all. And then, of course, you know, they, you know, now some of them, you know, they have wives and, you know, so basically I was planning on spending like $40 on a meal and I had like five people come. And so, I really was kind of griping about, because we went to Shogun's restaurant, you know, one of those Japanese steakhouses or whatever. So it's not cheap. You know, every person is $20. And I know that. And I have five people. So five times 20 is $100 plus tip and everything else. And I was kind of complaining because it was, money was a little tight, you know. But I'm never going to tell my kids they can't come. So, I get the bill. Or I was going to get the bill. The lady walks up and says, the guy over there paid for it. You know, so and I was just griping before I went in. I wouldn't believe in God for anything right there. I was just griping, you know. But and it turned out that that he was actually in town. It was a few months ago, right before Rhema started. He was moving his kid. You know, they were moving to Tulsa, and I'm like, you don't have to. I mean, I'm like, you don't. Because I don't expect anyone to do anything like that. So you don't have to. And I mean, I'm trying to pull money out and pay. No. I just want to thank you for everything that, you know. See, they're not thanking me for everything. Me, for you and your family. It's just what I'm saying. God is good. You know, and sometimes, you know, even, I mean, he shows up, you know, whenever, you know, we think, man, I really can't afford to do this, but I'm going to do it because I want. I love my kids. And boom, look, he provided for me.
Come on.
Our God will provide if we'll believe. If we'll believe, he'll provide. I mean, and it's just so awesome. But our faith has to be in God. Now, he goes on, and you know, we all know, it says, you know, you can say to a mountain, move.
Come on.
And if you say it and believe it. See, you have to believe what you say. Now, I believe we need to say it, but we have to also believe it.
That's right.
And that's the whole point. When Jesus spoke to that fig tree, he really believed that it was going to dry up.
Yes.
All right. And, you know, like I said, Jesus was pointing to a literal mountain here. But I believe he's talking about, you know, when you have a mountain in your life, whatever, financial mountain, physical mountain, emotional mountain, whatever mountain it is, speak to it and expect it to move.
Yes.
And, you know, if it doesn't move immediately, know that the root system is drying up because you spoke the words.
That's right.
And you were serious about it. You weren't joking about it. You weren't saying, well, I just hope it will happen. You know, I mean, just believe. And it's just so awesome. Like I said, you know, every time that I get frustrated sometimes, you know, I'm human. We're all human. You know, I get frustrated about things. I mean, God always shows up. I remember one time I was just frustrated in life and ministry and, you know, just, I mean, almost wanting to quit. I mean, I just really just, you know, sometimes ministry can get overwhelming. And, you know, just, you know, sometimes people are cruel. I mean, I just want to be honest. You know, and there was one day I was in my office. And, I, you know, I just was, just really going through some frustrating times. You know, and I opened my emails, and all of a sudden I get an email from a guy and saying that their daughter was, I don't know, like 4 years old, and thanking me, said, if it wasn't for you, I probably wouldn't even have a daughter. And I'm talking about that his wife was terminally ill, and she came in the healing line. You know, they didn't have any kids at the time, and she got healed through my ministry. This guy's another minister who I know, you know, and he had never told me. I didn't even know the story about how his wife got healed, and you know, then later on, you know, had a daughter, and said, you know, I was sitting there thinking about my 4-year-old daughter, you know, and all of a sudden it hit me. I need to thank Craig because, you know, for him, you know, so here what he didn't know is I was going through a situation where I'm like just frustrated, you know, just because of whatever, life and things like that. But I mean, almost every time I've been frustrated, I get an email like that. Someone thanking me for obeying God. And it's just so awesome how good God is. And like I said, you know, maybe I could afford the ice cream or the you know, the milk and even the food. But you know what? God provided.
That's right.
You know, and God will provide for you.
Right.
Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter, you know, how long you've been in church or not been. Some people think, well, you've been in church a long time. He's going to provide more for you. It doesn't matter that. Yeah. What matters is, do you believe?
Amen.
Do you believe? Are you putting your faith in God? You know, and Jesus said that the things that I did and greater things shall you do because I go to my Father. So he's right there helping us. He's helping us speak to our fig trees, helping us speak to our disappointments. You know, and all while we're standing in faith and believing while our roots are being dried up, he's still there helping us, still there encouraging us. You know, and like I said, when we have small little things like you get a $5 thing paid for, I mean, that's an encouragement. You know, God still loves me. God still loves me. He loves me enough and, you know, to help pay for my ice cream or help pay for my milk or help pay for my meal. You know, and all three of these things all happened within the last year. You know, but like I said, I have probably gone to that Brahms, you know, I probably go at least once a week, if not more. And, you know, and the guy's never bought my food, you know, anything else before. And I don't expect him to, you know, but I think what happens is that there's a certain time, you know, because I release my faith for something, all of a sudden, boom, he pays for my food. I mean, it's amazing.
Amen.
But see, a lot of times, like I said, whenever, you know, I know you're probably like me, most of our disappointments and things are financial. And you're thinking, well, how am I going to pay? I mean, you know, because, you know, I have a certain budget, and when something happens that I wasn't expecting, it just, you know, it messes my budget up. Like I said, I've had, over the last, you know, month, I've had $500 worth of, well, actually more than that because I had to pay deductible on that, so at $750 plus $500, so whatever that equals up to, $1,250 of extra that I've had to put out, you know, to fix cars that I wasn't expecting, that wasn't on my budget, and actually I was going to get mad about it one day, and I said, you know what, I just started, you know, there was one day I was actually getting mad, and I said, you know what, it doesn't really matter, God's going to take care of my situation, you know, and it's just awesome. I mean, you know, so, I mean, God just shows up every time, if we expect him to. We can expect him to. Just like I said, when God spoke to the heavens and the earth, when they're null and void, he expected it to change. He expected as soon as he opened his mouth that there was going to be no more null and void. There was going to be light because he spoke to it. When Jesus spoke to that fig tree, he expected that fig tree to die. So when you speak to your situation, you have to speak expecting it to happen, not because you're special, but because your faith is in God. Have faith in God. Only believe. just that simple. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name. And we thank you, Father, for this little teaching. And I know it's more of a reminder because we probably all already know this. But Father God, we thank you right now that if there's some of these folks that are facing situations or disappointments, whether they're facing them now or whether they'll be facing them right in the near future, we thank you, Father, that when that disappointment comes, that they know they can speak to that situation and they can speak in faith and they can know that that situation will change because their faith is in God. And Father God, we thank you as they speak to that situation. We thank you that those roots are drying up. And as those roots are drying up, we thank you, Father, that we'll stay in faith, believing that we will have it and we shall see it in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you if anyone is here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father, that they'll come to the saving knowledge of him. If you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I want to tonight. Or at one time I did walk with God, but I've kind of turned my back and I went away. If you're here tonight and you want to rededicate your life to God or you want to be saved for the very first time, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you say, I'm saved, I'm born again, but I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4 said they're all filled with the Spirit and begin to speak with tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. If you've never received the Pentecostal experience, it's for you today. And I want you to raise your hand if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit and you want to tonight. It's an awesome gift. It belongs to you. I don't see any hands. Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We thank you for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. We thank you that they will come into the saving knowledge of him. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Before we go, does anybody need healing in their body? Anyone needs healing in their body? I want you to come down here if you need healing in your body. I always want to give an opportunity to minister healing to anyone, because I don't want to see anybody go out sick. Amen. I want to see everybody well. Amen. Well, I don't see anybody, but we do have a prayer cloth. So reach your hand toward this. It said they have a lateral ankle ligament reconstruction, left ankle for their son. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We speak to this ankle right now. We speak to these muscles and these ligaments and everything else, Father. We thank you, Father, for the healing power of God flung in these cloths. And we thank you, as laid upon the sick, we thank you, Father, for complete healing in their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And we thank you, Father, for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, the way we dismiss around here, obviously, I'll be back at the door. Shake your hand. I always say, if you don't want to shake my hand, there's a door over there. You can go out as well. Hope you guys have a wonderful week. And, maybe at some point in time it's going to get cooler, but we keep having. Someone asked me the other day, because they were from up north, they said, well, in Oklahoma, does it ever get cooler? I said, no, we kind of only have like summer and winter. And sometimes we actually have summer in the winter, so we don't even know what season it is. God bless you guys. Take care. We'll see you later.